Good morning. What a beautiful bunch of people gathered here in this sacred place to worship the Lord. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Welcome. If this is your first time here, in the back of the pew, you'll find a green piece of paper that if you could fill that out, it would help us get to know you better. And we're very thankful that you're here with us this morning. And at the end of every pew, if you could just grab that attendance register and pass that on to your neighbor, that helps us know who's been here and who to contact if they haven't been here for a while to say, hey, how are you doing? And we miss you. So thank you for being here this morning. It's such a beautiful day, and we're thankful for this day the Lord has made. We have the senior choir singing today, and it's going to make a very joyous noise this morning. We're thankful for them and ask God's blessings over them. You'll notice members should have received a call slate. It's that time of year to begin to pray about who to fill these positions. So we'll join in prayer during our prayer time, but also ask you to spend time in prayer as members as you seek those to fill these vacancies for our call slate this year. So they're due on May 17th. And if you have any questions about that call slate, ask Michelle Snyder, who's on our gifts discernment team, and I'll be glad to answer any of those questions that you ask. We do want to remind you, tonight is Love Feast, such a wonderful time to gather as the family of God and partake in communion. And we'll bless that a little later this morning, and also to share in a fellowship meal and to wash one another's feet humbly. So at 6 o'clock, we'll be meeting downstairs in the fellowship hall for Love Feast, and that's tonight. Tomorrow night, everyone's looking for something to do tomorrow night, right? So you're wondering, what is a pocket knife and a garden hoe have in common? Anyone have any ideas? Pocket knives and garden hoes. Potatoes. Everyone knew that, right? Potatoes. So we're going to plant some potatoes tomorrow night. Or is it potatoes? Potatoes. Down by the pavilion, there's a plot plowed for us. And we thank that plot for being made for us. And we're going to help the food pantry and those in our community in need provide those potatoes that we're going to plant. There's 100 pounds, I hear. So I looked at like a 5-pound bag, and I'm thinking, that's 20 of these 5-pound bags. So the more people we have to help with that, what a blessed occasion to come together as a body of Christ to share and making that happen. We're asking you to be here between 3:30 and 4 o'clock, and we'll get the work line established and get that accomplished, and all in Jesus' name that we'll be doing that. So praise God for that opportunity. We also want to highlight for Love Feast tonight that there is childcare available. So if you were kind of sitting on the fence, I have children, I'm not sure I want to come because I'm not sure there's going to be a babysitter, there will be a babysitter here. We would just ask you just to mention that to Pam sitting up here in the front pew, how many children you'll be bringing. And we encourage you, even if you have children, to please come, and everyone please come and share in this just wonderful time as the body of believers. Are there any other announcements this morning that you'd like to highlight? Your bulletin is full of a lot of information, and to cover all of it would take the entire morning, so we'll just hit some highlights. Any other announcements that you'd like to make? Yes, we've got a women's fellowship announcement.
Final announcement for the women's fellowship, Once Upon an Apron. You'll hear my story, and my story has to do with one time I created an apron, and this week I created this apron. And it has actually from a 1950s vintage pattern, and it just was fun to make. So what does it scream, ladies? Hostess apron. Who else wears a little black dress with their hostess apron? So I hope you're digging in your drawers. I hope you're racking your brain for great memories you have, either about yourself or your mom. Please do come in and join us. I'm waiting for some fabulous stories, because I think this is really an apron church. So I'm waiting for fabulous stories. Don't forget to bring a recipe to share. Have a recipe swap. I've got a few of my recipes that I know you're dying to have, so you may be able to get one if it's still available. And just do come and have a great time. We just have one little thing we'd like to ask you. We're not going to really reserve any seats this year. There's a sign-up sheet, so there'll be a seat for everybody who signs up, and we want you to just be open to who God might want you to sit with for dinner. So please do come and join us. We look forward to it. We're busily working to make favors and have everything be nice, and all we need is you. So please join us this Saturday at 6 o'clock, and don't forget to sign up. Last chance.
Thank you, Judy. I invite you to please rise for our opening hymns this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's worship the Lord with joy this morning. Bows on is our opening hymn, number 580. Thank you for the opportunity to sing, the opportunity to give praise to your most holy name. We are thankful for the opportunity to gather here at Little Swatara to bring a joyful sound to you. Father, continue to hear our voices of praise. Continue to be lifted high, for we know that we serve the one true God, the one that loves us the most, the one that is famous among us, who sent his son Jesus to die for us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can lean on that rock and we can lean on thee every hour. Number 555, I need thee every hour.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Just want to share a joy this morning. As many of you know, my wife is in flare with her MS, and today was the last day of infusion. It's a five-day infusion, and she put a photo on Facebook with her brother Scott, who was able to take her this morning, and the vein held up. So I know many of us have felt God's presence in our lives this week. So let's just give the Lord a praise offering and just thank Him for the way He moves in our lives and continues to share His blessings with us. He is indeed a God worth serving this morning. I invite you to share in other joys or concerns you may have this morning, and just know that every hour, every second of every day, we can turn to a God that does hear our prayers. And what a beautiful thing that is. What an awesome thing to be able to know that our prayers are heard. And even when He seems silent, He's still at work in a great way. So all praise to Him this morning.
I don't know if anybody knows this, but Pastor Bob's sister passed away this week.
Okay, thank you.
Asking for prayers for the family of Richard Ziegler, died very unexpectedly this week from a heart attack. I worked with his wife Joyce for a long time.
Thank you.
An update on Alan Bajor. It's in your bulletin there. It's Wendy's cousin. Very quickly, he ended up with a five-way bypass this week, and he's doing really well. Thank you for your prayers.
Great. God's protection is all around us, and we've seen it day in and day out, which is so thankful. Let's turn to Him in prayer. Father God, we just thank You that we can come to You and that we can pray, and we know that we serve a God that hears us. Lord, You know our individual situations. You know the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We're praying, Lord Jesus, for those that are in recovery. We think of Hershey and Sam. We think of Denise now past that time of infusion and just in recovery, asking for Your full healing touch upon all them. And we think of those that have lost loved ones and that are grieving right now, and Nancy and the family of Richard Ziegler who died unexpectedly, and Pastor Bob and his family and his sister passing away. Lord, Your peace be still in their lives. Your comfort just overwhelm them during this time. We think too of our brothers and our sisters in Nigeria. We pray Your hedge of protection around them as they face persecution on a daily basis. But yet we do rejoice that the news just came that 300 of our sisters were brought back safely. And we're just praising You, Lord Jesus, for continually having a watch care over them. Lord, we think of those that are facing upcoming surgeries and the anxiety that produces. And we're just praying that You would just allow Your touch to be upon them, that they would not have anything to fear, for in perfect love, which is through Jesus, we know that there's nothing to fear. So we face those uncertain times, such as surgery and recoveries and just any type of issue we find in our lives, Lord, and we know with certainty that we can have confidence in You, our Lord. And so, Lord, we pray now during these next few moments of silent prayer that You would hear our confessions, those pleadings for forgiveness, and also those private prayers that we may not have uplifted but would like to pray to You now during these next few moments of silent prayer. God, thank You for forgiveness through the cross. Thank You that we can turn to You in our time of need, and we know that those needs are on a daily basis. And we're just thankful for people that You have protected this week and have allowed to come back and recover, and we're praying Your healing touch upon them, Lord. We think of Sarah in particular and others that may have faced dilemmas this week, and we're just praising You, God, that You were just there in the midst of those times of trials and accidents, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that You would just continue to just bless each of us, Lord, as we strive to live a life that is fully devoted to You. Lord, we know that times we face difficulties and we try to handle those things on our own. And Lord, this week I'm just praying that we would just turn to You and we would allow You to be our strength. We would allow You to be our encouragement. and we would allow you to be our comfort. And it's through the Holy Spirit we know that we can be guided and we can be directed. So, Father, just thank you for each one here. Thank you for those that are not able to be here this morning, and pray blessings over them. And we just continually lift each other up, and we love one another, and we pray that we could serve one another in love as well. And we look forward to what you're going to do in our lives, and may you be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'd invite the deacons to bring the elements forward to be set apart and consecrated. Father God, we lift up to you the bread and the cup, which we know, Lord Jesus, represents your broken body and your blood that was poured out for us. Lord, we pray during this day as we prepare for Love Feast tonight, as we take the bread and we receive the cup, Lord, that we would examine ourselves, that we would look into those areas of our lives that we need your healing, that we need your freedom to set us apart as followers of you. Father, we do pray your forgiveness, and we ask, Lord, that you would indeed consecrate these elements, Lord, that as we receive them, that we would be made new, that we would be transformed, that we would find meaning in remembering and taking that good news and sharing it with our friends and our loved ones and those that we come in contact with on a daily basis. Father, just thank you for your Son and what he has accomplished on the cross, conquering death and conquering sin. And we thank you for the new life that we find through it. Lord, prepare our hearts and bless these elements. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
we have any kids here this morning? Anybody? Hey, Graham. I'm going to sit here because, as I told my Sunday school class, I hurt my toe last night, so it's hard for me to get up and down. That's a little pathetic, but it is what it is. Hey, good morning, everybody. Here comes some more. What a great group of kids. And you look bright, so I know you're going to really get the story today. What do I have here today? Magnifying glass, great. Well, it is a snake, yeah. Graham had one like this, only he did a lot of magnifying. Yeah. Well, they make magnifying glasses in all kinds, but they do one thing. They may have snakes, they may be different, but what do? Make things bigger, helps you see things. Oh my gosh, you're huge. Ooh, do you want to take a look? Go ahead. What do I look like, small or big? Bigger. Oh, your nose got so big when you held that up. Yeah.
Can I see how big I am?
Sure. Take a look. Woo! Pretty big. Look how big your nose is.
Whoa.
Now, you heard Pastor Matt, and we just blessed the communion supplies. What is tonight? Love feast and communion. And do you know what? As followers of Christ, do you know what we're supposed to do before communion? Self-examination. We're supposed to look at ourselves closely and see if there's anything maybe we're doing wrong, if we're not following what Jesus tells us to do. Yeah? Well, it's kind of just a dramatization. We don't really get a magnifying glass. We're supposed to just in our mind say, are all the things I'm doing what Jesus would want me to do? It's just a dramatization of how we examine something. We look closely. Now, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We should be doing that daily when maybe we say our prayers. We ask Jesus to forgive us for things we might have done wrong. Maybe some of us don't do it daily. Maybe we do it weekly, hopefully monthly. But if not monthly, at least before communion. So, all you people out there, are you examining yourselves? Now, sometimes God gives us instructions and we take it to the next level. Like, is her barrette in correctly? I don't know. Is his hair out of place? Did he comb it right this morning? Sometimes we go to that level. I'm pretty sure Ava didn't get all her hair in her ponytail. Let me look closer. Why can't I see it? Why can't I see what's wrong with Ava's hair? I can't see anything. Why can't I do this? What do I need to remove? The big plank. Because if I'm looking for that little speck of sawdust in Ava, I better watch because I got a big fat chunk of wood in my eye. So what does God tell us? I didn't tell the kids this morning because they were older. I'm going to trust that they looked it up, but I'll give you a clue. In the Bible, Jesus gives us instructions, and you'll find it in Matthew. Maybe go home tonight, and for your devotion, you can read about how we need to take the plank out of our eye before we examine someone else, okay? I'm gonna ask you if you did that tonight in your devotions, okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, be with us. What you gave us as a reminder to examine ourselves and our actions is great. Help us not to take it to that next level that we examine those that we love closer than we do ourselves. Be with us. Thank you for this great day. And we love you, Jesus. Amen. Thanks for coming and sharing.
Thank you, Judy. Wonderful as always. Did you know that on a Scripto Aim and Flame butane lighter, it says do not use near fire, flame, or sparks? This morning, as we prepare to give our morning offering, may that spark turn into a flame and turn into a fire, because we are very joyful in our giving. May we not do it out of obligation, may we not do it out of routine, but week by week, may we look to the Lord and ask His guidance. What shall I give? And shall we give it joyfully? Let's turn to Him in prayer. Father, just thank You that we can light a fire in our lives to be able to give. We can light a fire to be able to reach out and to save those that are lost. For it's not by our actions, it's not by the love that we have demonstrated, but it's through that cross that they can be saved. So Father, this morning as we give, we remember that there are communities of individuals that need to hear the good news, that there are missionaries that need supported in order for that good news to go forth. And there are church buildings that are waiting for people to fill the pews that they might hear the good news. So Father, we pray Your blessing over each giver, and we pray that You would allow it to be used according to Your purposes and according to Your will. Thank You for each one. Bless them greatly, Lord. And bless the offering is what we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We invite you to sing along with us. Number 491, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. And we know that he is calling us home to live lives that are reflective of him. Number 491. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about this powerful word known as love. Love, we know that as Christians, we are to be characterized by. For we know it is by love that Jesus went to the cross. An unconditional love that had no strings attached. A love that was poured out for you and for me and for all people of all nations. A love that is so pure, a love that is so genuine that when we receive it, we can't help but to give it away. This morning, I'd ask you to turn your eyes to the screen as we watch a video of a gentleman that put love into action.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of, when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, I'll be things are supposed to do, oh yeah. Tossing and you're turning and you just can't fall asleep, I'll sing a song beside you. And if you ever forget how much you really mean to me, every day I will remind you. Oh, find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah.
Tells us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The question the Lord is asking us this morning is, can he count on us? Can he rely on his followers to share the good news? Not only to share the good news, but to share the good news with love, to share the good news in genuineness, with acceptance, with value placed on that individual, because we know that God created that person in his image, and they're valuable, and they're accepted, and there's no greater need in our lives to feel those two things. But apart from acceptance, we need to know what it feels like to be loved. I believe there's a majority of a population in this world that still is waiting to feel a love like Jesus poured out on that cross. I play backyard football, but I've never played in an actual game with an umpire or referee. And so I can tell you the fundamentals of football, but until I actually play on the field and actually know why the umpire is calling the whistle, I truly don't know the game. And as Christians, unless we're reading scripture and we know what the word of God says, what is it we're to know and to show to our brothers and sisters in need of God's love? And so this morning, we're looking at a very familiar passage from Acts 8 that's talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. We're going to read from verses 26 to 40 together in just a few moments. But I want to demonstrate how words and actions can sometimes not always line up. There's a guy, and he was attending a school of evangelism. And he had gone through all the courses, and he graduated and received a certificate that he completed all the necessary requirements to be able to go and share the good news. Evangelism, witnessing, whatever you may call it, it's telling the story that God has for each of us, the love that he has for each of us. That he died, that he rose again. He did all that for us. That sin is conquered, death is conquered. And so this guy was a barber. He completed the course and he went to his shop very early the next morning. And he got on his knees and he prayed to God, "Lord, please just send me a person to be able to witness to share your good news with." And moments passed by, and this very old beat up Toyota pickup truck pulls in to his parking lot. There's enough rust on the side you could fit your head through it. There's enough drainage coming from various parts of the engine that you could fill an oil drum. And the bumper was falling off, and out steps from that Toyota truck a big, burly man. His beard was to the middle of his stomach. His hair was to the middle of his back. And the barber looked out, and he thought to himself, "God, really? Really, this is who you're going to send to me to witness to? Couldn't you send someone more like me?" And so the gentleman enters in, and he was a social man. And he said, "I'm here for my annual cut. I want to get my money's worth." And so the barber began to cut his hair. And his heart began to change. He began to feel that love for this person. But for whatever reason, he couldn't remember anything from that class. Moments, minutes went by, and he kept thinking, "What am I supposed to say?" And so the gentleman finished his haircut, and he told the barber to have a wonderful day, and there he left. And the barber thought to himself, "Why, Lord, why did I waste an opportunity? I attended those classes. I knew the information. It was all up in my head, ready to go. But I drew a blank. I judged the guy. I looked at him and I thought initially, you know, I can't witness to him. And so, Lord, I'm asking for your forgiveness. Lord, I'm asking that you would please, please just give me one more opportunity." And so hours went by. It was a slow day at the barbershop. And he's about to close up, and up pulls this beautiful, newer Honda Civic. And out steps this fine gentleman dressed in a suit. And he comes to the barber and says, "Can I still get a trim? My wife and I are going out for dinner this evening." And the barber was like, "Yes, yes, absolutely. Come on in, have a seat." And he treated him with so much love and dignity and respect. And the man sat there, didn't say a word. And the barber remembered this time what exactly his manual told him. For he knew he was to start a conversation. He was to get to know the person he was witnessing to. So as he's trimming, he's shaping up his hair, he said, "So, what do you do for a living?" And the man looks at him in the mirror and he says, "I don't want any small talk. Just trim my hair. My beard needs shaped up a little too. And my neck, clean that up." And so the man thought, "Wow, okay, what am I supposed to do if the person doesn't enter in to the story, doesn't start a conversation?" And so he's thinking and thinking, and he gets the lather out, and it's that warm lather he puts on the guy's neck, and suddenly he remembers, "That's right, I'm supposed to talk about eternal life." And he was trying to remember, "What exactly am I supposed to say?" And he's lathering the guy's neck, and he's getting his mustache ready to trim that, and he reaches into his drawer, and he gets out his straight razor, and he's about inches away from cleaning up the guy's neck, and suddenly the phrase came to him, "Are you prepared to die?" The guy looks at the mirror, makes a beeline out the door, gets in his car, the barber chasing him down the street. "Was it something I said?" Weeks went by, and an envelope came in the mail. And in that envelope was a payment from this guy that drove the Honda Civic. And with it was a note. And that note said, "I am prepared to die. I know Jesus. I just wasn't ready to die in that moment." You see, sometimes our actions need to line up with our words. We need to be very much aware of our surroundings. We need to be top of mind of the situation we find ourselves in. We need to know the culture that we're serving in. As brethren, we do a tremendous job of reaching out into the world and building homes like we saw in the video, or sharing God's love in various ways. And in our home community, we do that with one another. And it's such an incredible thing to watch as we reach out in love to each other. But what I feel God is calling us to is to go beyond the four walls, to go beyond those mission trips and enter into this community where we have fellow friends, acquaintances that don't know the Lord. And he's calling us, like we'll see here in Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40, to listen to his Spirit. Out of the entire Trinity, the Holy Spirit is one of those aspects that are misunderstood. For we see the Spirit being used in inappropriate ways with the prosperity gospel or many other false teachers that are among us. We see prior to these verses, Simon the sorcerer trying to buy the Holy Spirit. But what we know is that the Holy Spirit begins to convict the unbeliever at that moment he is ready to receive Christ. And we're about to read that in Acts 8, 26 to 40, if you'll grab your Bibles and read along with me. If you have a glass of water, you may want to take a sip of that as well, because it's quite the passage. But my, is it worth it? There is so much wonder and amazement in these words. They'll be on the screen as well. Let us begin reading the Word of God. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that even today we entertain angels. We thank you that even today the Holy Spirit calls upon us and nudges us to action, to speak your truth in love. Father, we know there are individuals who walk this earth that are different in comparison to us. But Lord, you say by your cross there is no mold to fit. There is no certain individual that comes to know you, but all people are given fair opportunity. And you say, Lord, that you won't return the second time until the entire world has heard the good news. So, Father, we're praying through your passage here in the book of Acts that you would use us, that you would guide us, that you would start us out on the way that you are calling us to. Thank you for the work that we are doing, the difference that we are making. But take us further. Set our flame afire. And let us go into this world and preach the good news. For we know on a daily basis that's what you call us to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, right off the bat, we tend to get a little fearful. We tend to get a little nervous because it says that an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Now, Philip, we need to be reminded, is not the disciple Philip that was part of the inner 12. Philip is one of the chosen 7 deacons here in the book of Acts. And when the angel of the Lord said to Philip to go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, we recognize that these are very specific instructions. Anytime we look throughout Scripture, we see an angel appearing. Typically, that phrase that follows, those instructions that follow, are specific. Consider Joseph and Mary and the many times that he was told by an angel to do different things, to go different places, to protect the Christ child. So here he is. He's going down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And there's this Ethiopian eunuch. He's a high official. He was actually, now mind the wording of this, but theologians say eunuchs and many of those that served in this capacity in officials were castrated so that they would be obedient, that they would be servants to the max, if you will. And so this man had gone through that, and he was just in Jerusalem to worship. And what that means is he had received a scroll. And this particular day, as the teaching went, they received the scroll of Isaiah. Now picture with me, I know some of you have imagery driving in your mind right now as I do, and you can see this chariot ahead of Philip. But you can imagine when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to go in that direction, and then he sees this chariot, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is telling him to go to the chariot and stay near it. You can imagine how excited Philip is feeling. And so Philip, he doesn't just go to the chariot. He's not walking and whistling and doing a little dance. He ran to the chariot. Now I want to pause there for a second. I want to ask us, when we feel the Spirit nudging us to do something, are we quick to respond? Are we anxious to run across the room and to share the good news with that person? More than likely, if we're honest with ourselves, many of us are fearful. Many of us are afraid that this isn't the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me. Some of us may even sit here this morning and say that the Lord doesn't speak today. But I stand here as a witness to the fact that He does. And many around us can testify to that fact as well. You can be seated in a restaurant like my brother Bud and I have been, and you can feel the nudge of the Spirit to talk to the waitress, to the waiter, to the couple that's sitting across at another table. And when that Spirit nudges you, you simply ask yourself the question, from what I know, is this something I should be showing through the Spirit? Are these words that I should be approaching that individual with? Now, the Spirit won't always say, this is what you're to say. But think about what the Lord is calling us to share the good news. It starts with sharing conversation. A simple, hi, hello, how are you? And from that moment, many of us here in this place can point to that time where the Spirit guided us in conversation. Amen? Yes, the Lord has been with us. The Lord has guided us through His Spirit. And He's calling us deeper into that in this day and age. To love those that the community of believers has somewhat decided are unlovable. And so our challenge as we look further into this passage, the Spirit was upon Philip telling him to go to that chariot and stay near it. And the nudge was so obvious. The cue was there. He was ready. The Spirit had already convicted this eunuch, preparing him for this moment to receive the good news. And so you can imagine why Philip ran up. And when he heard him reading the Isaiah passage, he simply asked the question, do you understand what you are reading? There's many teens in the world today that love to read. And you can gain quite a bit of insight into their lives by the type of books that they're reading or the type of music that they're listening to. And this transcends generations, and we can begin conversations simply by being near someone and seeing or hearing what they're reading. Most times when you buy a teenager, the earphones are loud enough that you can indeed hear what they're listening to. And so that is an opportunity. And so here this door literally is being opened for Philip. The eunuch actually says to come up with him. Now, I've been seeing a lot of limos lately. I'm not sure what's happening in Berks County, but there was a limo, and I'm imagining as I'm reading this passage that the gentleman that was sitting in the back was perhaps reading some type of scripture and looking for insight. And as I'm sitting next to him, I'm going to imagine I'm in my Harley, just because that's my favorite place to be. And the window comes down, and I can hear over my loud pipes what he's reading to himself. And much like this eunuch, I could lean over and say to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And now many of us sit here, we have been in Bible studies, we have been in the Word for the majority of our lives, and so we know what it says. And so to say a simple phrase, "Do you understand what you are reading?" is actually something that could happen. And so the door opens up, the limo door opens up. I've parked the Harley along the side of the road and decided to go inside the limo. Philip, in this case, climbs up into the chariot, and he sits next to him and starts to explain who this passage is talking about. And indeed, we recognize that this passage refers to Jesus himself. And so Philip must still be in the chariot, and they're traveling along the road. And of course, the eunuch is not driving the chariot himself, but suddenly they come upon some water. And the eunuch tells the driver, or I tell the limo driver, sir, please stop. And you can imagine Philip and the eunuch, myself and that person in the limo, getting out and going towards that water. Now here's the wonder of it all. Here's where it gets pretty amazing. He says, the eunuch says to Philip, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And so they go down into the water. I can just picture this. And Philip baptizes the eunuch. They may not even know each other's names at this point, but the Lord is just so very present that he baptizes the eunuch. And when the eunuch comes back up out of the water, the Spirit has taken Philip away. Now, I want you to think about that scenario with me for a second. If all of a sudden, "Beam Me Up, Scotty" took place right in front of your eyes, would you be leaving rejoicing like the eunuch did? I thought about this week, and I thought, you know, I'd be a little perplexed. I'd be a little confused. I'd be looking around going like, Philip, where are you? But no, the wonder of it all, the eunuch goes away rejoicing. Now we know from Jesus' accounts of when he brought healing, and he said not to tell anyone. I always thought that was kind of funny. The people always told many other people. They were rejoicing for the difference that Jesus made in their life. This eunuch is rejoicing for the difference this scripture passage made in his life. And so he goes on his way rejoicing. Philip goes on and continues preaching the gospel, and you can bet the eunuch is doing that as well. And so I don't want us to look in the past. I don't want us to say, "Wow, I missed an opportunity." I want us to go about our daily work this week, our daily chores, and I want us to think, is the Spirit nudging me? Is the Spirit calling me to speak to this or that person? And I want us to know that perfect love casts out fear. And that perfect love belongs to us when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so there's nothing to fear. For when the Spirit nudges us, we're being used as an instrument of God's peace to bring hope, to bring restoration, perhaps to even bring healing to a broken relationship, or perhaps to speak the simple truth of the good news into that person's life. And so this week, as you go about your day, is the Spirit nudging you? Are you hearing the voice of God saying, "Go. Go and share my good news"? Let's be humble. Let's be obedient. And let's strive to make a difference for Christ's sake. Let's pray. Lord, you're so good. You amaze me every moment of my life. And I can't help but to keep that goodness to myself. I want to give it away. That goodness is full of so much grace and so much mercy and so much compassion. And it's soaked in so much unconditional love. Why would anyone want to hold on to that? So, Lord, you're calling us to go into our communities, to go into our worlds and to make a difference, to make disciples, to share your good news. Lord, I know some may be sitting here this morning thinking, no way, that's not me, that's not my gift. But we know every follower is called to make disciples, to go therefore. So, Father, use us. Help us to show love in real practical ways. You have done so in many indescribable ways already, and I'm looking forward to hearing stories of what you're going to do next. Lord, continue to light that fire in our lives. Continue to give us that passion to see others as you see them, to see them as lovable, to see them as ready and ripe for the good news. For we know that it's by your Spirit we'll be able to know that for sure. So Holy Spirit, guide and direct us this week. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand for our final hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Now I chose this particular hymn for a very specific reason. For when the Spirit of God breathes on us, we are used in ways that only we can ascribe to the Holy Spirit. Please rise. Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Number 356. And now to the Lord, our Heavenly Father, the one who loves us the most, may we take that love and share with others in genuine and in real ways. May we use that love to further God's kingdom here on this earth. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Help us to love one another in this world and in this community. And it's in peace we go. Amen.